Blog Talk Radio.
How valuable is your eyesight? A question that usually a lot of people don't even think about. But you wouldn't want to be without your eyesight. In fact, that's supposed to be the most, the greatest loss of any body part or function, so they say. So people take it for granted that their eyesight, you know, you use it to make money, you use it to get around, you use it to drive your car and all that and more. So people take it for granted that their eyesight is protected by the law. In other words, no one could interfere with your eyesight and get away with it, because they'd be interfering with you. They'd be putting you in danger, and that's why there's a law. That's why you can call the police and expect to be protected. Now, keeping that in mind, what about when you go, when you're blind, you don't have the eyesight, the norm, so-called normal eyesight. You know, your eyesight is blocked or taken from you for whatever reason. And you go to a guide dog school and you train with the dog for 3 weeks, maybe a little longer. And you bond with the dog. A dog takes 3 days to get used to a new situation. So, you know, 3 weeks, plenty of time. You bond with the dog. You work with the dog. The dog was trained by someone who works at the school. And you work with that dog. Now you're used to that help, because you don't have your eyesight, but you got the dog to take the place of your eyesight, all right? And now, after you train 3 weeks with the dog, you're taken aside and told that you can't have the dog for whatever reason. You know, they give you a reason, they make up a reason or whatever. So now, and of course I can't speak for every blind person. I wouldn't want to. Everybody has a different idea or feeling. But I think generally that most people would be devastated to not take that dog and go home and have a relationship with the dog for whatever time the animal has and the person has. So there's no law to protect you. Remember, the person whose eyes are interfered with, as we said a minute ago, that person is protected by the law. Nobody could interfere with that person's eyes, regular eyes, and get away with it. All right? But not so when you're dealing with a guide dog school. And the law that's supposed to protect you in general isn't even that strong. Very weak. And very little enforcement. So here you have the situation. You went to the school. You know that the school used your application that you, when you applied for the dog, to raise money. Could be anywhere from $50,000 to $100,000. And now you're told you can't have the dog, and there's no law. and now they want you to, the school wants you to reapply, or they want you to appeal who have denied you the dog. Now, I don't call that, and I'm sure that many others don't call that a fair hearing. You know, you're not appealing to impartial people who are taking a look at it in an objective way. You're appealing to those who already passed judgment on you. And remember, these schools are not licensed. There's no regulations. There's no regulation that says they have to give you the dog if you trained with it a certain amount of time. Or they have to prove in court why you're not being released from the school with this dog that has been guiding you for the last 3 weeks. And when we come back, I want to tell you a story that I heard today from someone who has a relative who got a dog. And this person is one of our donors. So stay within a sight, and we'll come back and tell you that story. All right, Big East, the Key to Rescue, that's one of our benefactors over here. We greatly appreciate them. Big East, the Key to Rescue, 609-388-7004. Big East, the Key to Rescue at Verizon.net. All right, that's the email. And June 5th is their fundraiser. They call it the Whisker Walk. So make a note of that, June 5th, and support the Akita Rescue. Great, great people. And once again, I have to thank them for sending my dog, my guide dog, a whole bunch of food. Appreciate that. Kennedy Realty, buy a house, sell a house, get some info. 631-888-1186. And we thank him for his support and help. Mr. Kennedy Realty, Islip, New York. All right, all the beautiful children of the world. Ollie Campbell, Avanti Oquindo, and Corey Foster, Baby Royalty, Little Tommy. Go an extra mile for a child. Inner Sight reminds you. And we thank you for it. Inner Sight means freedom. Advocates for the Disabled. Our phone number at the Inner Sight is 631-224-3090. All right, Inner Sight Freedom. This is the show tonight. Subject, how the state doesn't protect you when you're denied a guide dog. Let's see, what else we got? Able News. Don't forget about the Able News. The paper on and about the disabled. They got columns by experts, calendar of events, personal columns, if you want to take a look at that. Able News and Angela Melanie, my good friend, the editor, thank her for sharing with us and caring and donating an ad to the Inner Sight. Hey, you need dog food, cat food? Nobody starves on Long Island. My buddy Gary, 631-484-3085. Give him a call. You don't have to explain your life to him. Just tell him you need the food. 631-484-3085 on Nobody Starves on Long Island. Do you buy Silo, Suffolk Independent Living Organization? And we thank them for their support. Silo. Check them out. 631-880-7929. 880 7929 on the silo. Any information you may need about the disabled or legislation or meetings, you can go to their website too on the silo. 631-880-7929. We thank Suffolk Bus Corp for their donation, helping to keep Inner Sight on the air. 115,005 listeners. We thank those five listeners for starting up to get a new number at 116,000. On our way to 120,000. All right. Hope to make that by the end of the year. That'd be nice. Inner Sight, and I was talking to a friend of ours today and told me that he has a relative who's disabled, and he got a dog from one of the schools. He's in a wheelchair. He's not a guide dog, but it's a service dog. And the dog does various things for him, you know, open the doors and all that. And the school said to him, now, so-and-so, you better make sure that you take good care of this dog because it's worth $50,000. You see, price on the dog. But what is that dog really worth to the person? You can't put a price on that. Now, my response was when they told me, when my friend told me, they were so nice to this guy and I gave him the dog and everything. I said, well, isn't that what they're supposed to do? You know? But now, look at the other side. What about the person or persons who they didn't give the dog to? And raised the money and kept the money. Huh? How many people fall under that category? Now remember what we said at the beginning of the show. The eyes of people are protected, right? The state does absolutely nothing, and I'm talking now specifically about the State Commission for the Blind, because this is for the show contains guide dogs, but you could apply this to any service dog. The state does not protect people who are denied guide dogs. Now, how many of those people who are denied? Now, there's no statistics on this, but I know a lot of blind people feel this way because I experienced it myself years ago. How many feel like they don't want to continue with their life because they're denied a guide dog? You see, they train with the dog and or they go back for a replacement and the agency refuses them for whatever reason they make up without a law, without a hearing, without witnesses, without anybody to protect them. The state does not intervene when a person is denied their safety in the form of a service dog, guide dog or otherwise. Now, why is it that the state and the federal government, put them in there too, will protect someone whose eyes are going to be interfered with and put put them in a dangerous position, but they will not protect someone whose eyes are interfered with when dealing with a service dog school, and they'll hardly protect you when you're dealing with the public too. Those laws are not strong enough. There should be a hell of a lot stronger. There should be immediate enforcement on a situation like that. I'm going through one now where they denied me boarding an excessive riot in New York City. It's been going on for over 4 years. So now you have the dilemma that you trained with the dog. They won't give it to you. Yeah, you have no place to turn. There isn't one agency that I know of, inner sight, that will come forward to help that person. And it's a horrible feeling to know that you are not protected with your basic safety that everybody else takes for granted. And we have gone so far as to meet with Congress. We met with, I met with my congressman to try to get them to do something about this. We also met with the head state senator here in New York. And he refused to do something about it. The congressman refused to do something about it. So how do you protect millions of people who are not being serviced? I mean, there are so many contradictions. A friend of mine who was on the committee that we formed to try to license the schools caught them in one contradiction. They said, the school said, we custom train the dog for the individual. And then in the same breath, when he asked, well, what do you do if you don't give that dog to that individual? We give it to someone else. Now, if you custom train a dog for someone and their personality and all that, how can you give it to someone else? It doesn't make sense. The answer is they decide what they're going to do as they go along because they're not regulated. There's no license to train a guide dog. So they have the option of raising the money, put a person on a waiting list, and that person on the waiting list doesn't even have the courtesy to know if they're training a dog for you. Now, they tell you, there's no guarantee you're going to get a dog, right? But they raise the money, and they keep the money. If there's no guarantee you're going to get a dog, why should there be a guarantee that they're going to keep the money that they've raised to give you that dog? You see why you need a law? There's a million reasons why you need a law. You know, there's a million stories. One friend of mine, who I know for many, many years, and we worked our guide dogs together, and she's a great guide dog person. She always had one ever since she was a 18, whatever it was, all her life. And one of the schools gave her a dog, Guiding Eyes, gave her a dog. And she had a problem with the dog, and the school came out and took a look at what was going on and told her we have to retrain the dog, and took her dog and never gave it back to her. Now, this person since has been injured. She's taken a fall or two. She's afraid to go off her block without her dog. There's no law to protect her. I mean, she can't go down to court and get a summons and say, hey, that's my dog. I bonded with that dog. They used me to raise all that money. They said they were going to retrain it and bring it back, and they never did. The courts won't help. There's no intervention of the court. It's all crazy. When you have to, when you have your safety violated and you have to deal with a program that has the attitude that they know it all and there's no licensing and no rights. It's like somebody having power, let's say, over your car that helps you get around and all that. And there's no law to protect you. And they can take that car away from you without a law, without any due process, and so on and so forth. So the state, and this is in every state, every state commission for the blind operates pretty much the same way. They will not help a blind person who's denied a guide dog. They will not intervene, and yet they'll send people to the schools. They'll allow the schools to get them to evaluate these people with mobility training, and they'll recommend to the school and all that. But when the school denies the person, they don't do a damn thing about it. Now, the commissions for the blind all over this country, they conduct hearings, but not when you're denied a guide dog or a service dog. And we've tried time and time and time again to get the governors, it's been going on for years, I say governors, to amend commission laws to include guide dog schools. And especially now that the commission is involved in evaluating the person for the training of the dog. And they refuse to do it. So the only remedy that I know of to have enough money, as you know, is for inner sight to have enough money, not only to help people get the guide dogs, but expose what's going on here. That these schools should be licensed. They're dealing with people's lives, with people's safety, with people's eyes. Remember what we said, start of the show, the beginning of the show. No one can interfere with your eyes, somebody's eyes, and get away with it and not have to answer to the law. And that should be the same principle that's involved with a guide dog. Without my dog, I'm lost. I don't have the same safety that I have when she's guiding me. It's like somebody's eyesight being interfered with. So we demand, we don't ask anymore, we demand that the states and the federal government protect people who are denied a guide dog and license the school and put in regulations so that the person can have a fair chance, and let the schools have the burden of proof as to why they're not giving the guide dog to this person. Because they always profit from it. How many people apply and they use their application to raise the money and never had any intention of giving them a dog? Happens every day of the week. Nobody's ever investigated that. Nobody investigates what happens when a blind person's denied a guide dog. there'd be plenty of investigations if someone were to interfere with someone else's eyesight. We know that. You hear about them every day. Inner Sight, and don't forget, we're doing reruns on television. The show was on, I believe, at 7:30 on Altice tonight, Long Island Cable. And let's see, Wednesday night, Manhattan Neighborhood Network, 1997. Channel 3 on the Spirit Channel, 11 o'clock Wednesday night. So we still got the reruns up there as far as I know. I constantly check to make sure that they have tapes, shows to run, because they're not letting us back in the studio. But this is our podcast every night, 8 to 9, Blog Talk Radio. Tomorrow night is the Funnies over here. And in that connection, we're going to take a little break from our subject here, how the states don't protect people who are denied guide dogs. And we're going to see if we can get Louis the Lip on the line, who he's one of the characters on our Funnies. And, you know, Louis just comes out with a lot of funny, crazy things, and we just let him ramble into whatever happens. So stand by. I'm going to break the station, and we'll be back in a minute, or less than a minute, see if we can get Louis on the line. Inner Sight. All right, Inner Sight. We got Louis Rivera on the line, and I know he's all excited about tomorrow night with the Follies coming up, and So hey, Louis, who's your favorite singer of all time? You got a favorite singer?
My favorite singer is Neil Diamond. That's my favorite singer.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
You like Neil Diamond?
He's good. I've been listening to him since the 60s and the 70s and the 80s.
Comes from Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Like me.
Yeah, I know that.
Yeah, and Neil and I are about the same age, you know.
Yeah, I know. I just came home from the trip. I went to Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. I just got in today.
Oh, wow. I didn't know you guys went to Myrtle Beach.
Yeah, South Carolina.
Oh, you have a nice time?
Yeah, you bet. I had a cold drink over there.
What'd you do, fly down there?
Yeah, on Frontier.
Wow.
Frontier plane.
That's pretty cool. So you just came in now?
Yeah, hours ago.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, have a good time. It was good. The weather's nice over there, you know, where you stay at the Marriott Hotel.
Oh, yeah?
Yup.
Wow.
Yeah, I had a great time.
Hey, what's your favorite Neil Diamond song? You got one?
Got Cherry Cherry, Girl You'll Be a Woman Soon, Holly Holy.
Oh, you like all those, huh?
Yeah.
Holly Holy Eyes. That one?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. So listen, what are we going to do tomorrow night? We got some funny stuff, man.
Yeah, we're going to do Follix, okay. Look at me, I'm filling in for Suzanne Taurasi Ferrero.
Yeah, well, I don't know if she'll be on, but if she's not, it's, you know, we'll still have you on.
I'll take her place.
You take her place, that's it. Now you're talking.
Yeah.
And we'll have Jimmy Dinikin, Lauren Hardy. Why don't you help me?
Yeah, everything.
You know? And we'll get, I don't know, maybe we'll get a little Abbott and Costello.
Yeah, Abbott and Costello, okay.
Hey, Abbott!
That was funny.
How's that? Pretty good?
Oh, yeah. I used to watch that. That was funny.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, maybe Pat Cooper will be here. And don't forget about your friends, Connie and Chrissy.
I already saw it Saturday.
You saw it?
Yep.
Oh, all right.
I love Connie and Chrissy. They're funny.
Can you imitate Connie and Chrissy? Can you talk like them?
Nah, it's hard to say, Frank. I gotta try to do it, you know.
Yeah, well, you
words.
Think about that, and maybe for tomorrow night you give us a couple of lines, you know, Connie and Chrissy.
Yep.
How they talk.
Yeah, that's right. I had an hour flight, hour 20-minute flight from MacArthur Airport all the way to Myrtle Beach, South Carolina.
Oh, yeah.
I had a good time.
That's great, man.
But we got to use an ID, passport, and boarding pass.
Oh, yeah?
We'll put it over your neck and then show your boarding pass, and then you get on the plane.
Did you have to wear a mask on the plane?
Some of them do.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right.
I had a great time. You ever been on a plane before?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Many times, yeah, a couple of times. Yeah, I've been to California, Florida.
Yeah. Well, how are you, Frank? I go with you.
Hello. Yeah. I figured I'd give you the other half of your show.
Oh, no. Hey, Frank, that's Suzanne Taurasi. I'm filling in for Suzanne Taurasi. I didn't know she was on tonight.
Yeah.
I thought it was tomorrow.
I wasn't supposed to be, but I figured I'd give him a little bit of, I'm very tired. I don't know why, but I didn't sleep well last night. You ever get one of those nights, Louie, that you could just need, you ever get one of those nights that you need extra sleep, but you haven't gotten it, and you're just sitting down from, you know, you're the only one awake, you know, very early in the morning, and you're like, why aren't I sleeping? You ask that question.
Yeah, you know what the cure is for that?
Sleep.
Hit you right in the back of the head. Boom.
My husband would love it. My husband would love it. He would hit me for target practice.
Right in the back of the head with the with the paradoker.
See what he said? Oh, what's that?
Paradoker.
Yes, a paradoker.
Oh.
Yes, it is.
That's it. Hit you right in the back of the head with the paradoker. That'll straighten you right out.
Okay.
Give you a shot of whiskey.
Whiskey. Nah, no alcohol in this house. I don't want any alcohol in this house. Fake whiskey. Pretend whiskey.
Anyway, tomorrow night. Hey, Luke, give us a promo for tomorrow night. Come on.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Louie just came back from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, right?
Nice.
And I had a great time, and I'm home for Inner Sight Frolics for tomorrow. Tune in at 8 to 9 o'clock. Wow, a lot of laughter and frolics. And Connie and Chrissy, I won't forget those two ladies. I'm going to have a good time.
Yeah, and plenty of marijuana.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Marijuana.
Hello,
it's legal
my name is Suzanne. I'm talking to Frank Perina. I'm giving a love note to the female ladies to go over to Connie and Chrissy. And I'm going to have a great time talking. We're going to have a date night together.
Oh, Louie, that's great. You going to go see Connie and Chrissy?
All right, tomorrow night.
Maybe I'll see them. I got to call the studio guys and go see Connie and Chrissy live. I'll go over there.
That's good.
Oh, you better call them first. Make sure they're there.
Yeah. My first time calling those two female ladies.
Yeah.
All right, listen.
Night.
Good night.
Hey, Louie, thanks a lot, man.
Thanks
tomorrow night,
yeah,
right?
Okay, Suzanne's here. I know I'm filling in for Suzanne today.
That's it.
I know you did. Thank you.
Now you're on the radio.
And we don't even have to hit you in the back of the head.
No, I woke up
hitting the back of my nose.
The paradoka.
Paradoka, whatever that is.
Yeah. Glad I'm home. I had a good time at Myrtle Beach, South Carolina on Frontier Airlines at LaGuardia MacArthur Airport, right down in Long Island.
All right.
Oh, wow.
Thanks for being
thanks,
on, Lou. Catch you tomorrow night.
All right, I'll
yep.
give you a call on a ringy-dingy telephony on the antipsychotic.
Yeah.
I'm having a good time tomorrow. I'm going to call up after 8:30.
All right, thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, you could do that. Thank you, Lou. Hey.
All right, inner sight and...
That works out real well. It sounds like it's on a different line. Sounds really good
tonight,
and clear.
Hold it. Wait, there's a show going on here.
Yeah, I know.
Talking tonight about how the state does not protect people who are denied service dogs.
That's true.
And how the legislators refuse to do something. Now, one of the stupidest things I ever heard in my life is one legislator, I don't know if he said it or somebody else said it, that it would be like a political suicide.
Somebody else said it.
To pass a law to protect blind people who are denied guide dogs, you know. Now, what about all the blind and disabled people who, in addition to being blind, have a mental disability?
That's
and
it.
How many of them, now there's no statistics on this either, but I suspect there's got to be, I don't know how many, maybe hundreds. How many of them committed suicide after being denied the dog?
Yeah,
that they were
sadly.
So devastated by it.
Yeah.
You know?
They don't give you
there's
that.
There's no statistics on that.
Mm-mm.
You know? There's no... That's not taken into consideration by the schools. There's no law for the person to fight for that dog that they trained with for 3 weeks and bonded with. It's horrendous.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable that they get away with this. And remember, the agencies have they got a motive. They raise $50,000 to $100,000 to train one dog.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah. And they're taking in that money. They keep the money no matter what. You know? And the disabled person, in many, many cases, winds up with nothing, has put the time in.
Mm-hmm.
How many people have lost their jobs because of it?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
How many people have gotten on the outs with their families because the family turns around and blames them?
Yeah.
You know, there's all kinds of what?
We know one person that happened to.
Oh, there's more than one. But there's all kinds of scenarios that are going on here that are not taken into consideration by the Congress and the legislators in neglecting to protect us the way the state protects other people.
Yeah.
We should have the same protection, you know. If a guide dog protects you and keeps you safe from moving traffic and obstacles and holes in the ground,
yeah.
And clearance, and even firearms.
Yeah.
That protection should be legislated with the schools that are supposed to provide that protection.
It's also priceless. It really is.
Just like everybody else is protected. And as we
it's
said,
hard to put a price
we,
on something that's... I'm sorry, continue.
What?
I said it's hard to put a price at something that's so helpful, so protecting, and you can't put a price on something like that.
No, there is no price. Of course not. And as we said at the outset of the show, people take for granted that their eyesight is protected. Nobody could interfere with a person's literal eyesight and get away with it.
Nope.
Not in this country.
No.
It only happens to us when that eyesight becomes a guide dog. And when you know that you have the confidence that that dog watches out for you.
Here's the thing I notice. You deviate just a little bit from the balance of what they consider normal or what they consider is following the rules, then you lose the opportunity to get the dog. I've noticed that. It's terrible.
Yeah, but how do you know they made the right decision if there's no law?
That's true, too.
You don't. You never know that.
You don't.
There's no proof.
Yeah.
There's no witnesses.
That's right. No.
There's no regulations.
Yeah.
You know? So they make it up basically as they go along. And that's the horror part. You know, and if they disapprove of a blind person, they don't like their lifestyle or something that they're doing or whatever, they deny them the dog and there's no protection.
Yeah.
It's even worse when you put in the time and train with that dog.
That is worse for both the dog and the person receiving the dog. It's very bad.
But then when you're on that waiting list, you have no rights.
Like,
and of course, needless to say, you can't try to find a dog on your own and say, hey, you know, come and take a look.
Where's the medical?
do you think that this would make a good service dog? You know, you can't do that. They're not going to come out and go with you and help you find the right dog. And then if you do train the dog on your own, they look down on you and you don't get the medical that you used to get.
That's right.
From the animal medical. So that should be part of the law. That should be built in to the regulations, because that's part of the dog keeping you safe and being safe. It should all be connected together. And it's not, because the politicians are very indifferent toward us. And you only hear one side of the story.
That's true.
You never hear the other side, why the person is denied the dog. And what choice does the person have? I mean, if they speak out and they're going to apply to another school,
it saves it.
They're going to be violated because the schools contact one another.
Yep. They're blacklisted of sorts, or graylisted, whatever you want to call it.
They're whitelisted.
You're whitelisted, too. You're redlisted. Whatever you want to call it.
Black and whitelisted.
Black and whitelisted, yes. You're put on the poop.
So there you have it. The only solution that I know of, after having gone to the Congress and gone to the state, you know, and gone to the governor of New York. The only solution is to have enough money to help people in the original concept of the seeing eye, which
That's
means
right.
that you could train the dog on your own, pick the dog out, and all that. And that's how the seeing eye started. with a blind trainer and a stray, and at the same time expose the whole thing and
yeah.
publish stories of people who are denied without identifying them. Just the stories. Unless, of course, they want to be identified.
I don't care. If you need to share my story to help other people, I don't care. I already know that I'm not going to get a guide dog because of the way they said it, you know?
Yeah, well, I don't know what happened in your case. I'm not clear on it.
Well, I just filled out the application online, and all the questions.
Oh, you did?
Did
you apply officially?
Yes, I did.
Oh, all right, and they turned you down.
Before I even went to the school, yes.
All right, so that's what we're talking about. There's no law. There's no
law.
Regulation. So
they
that would be one story, but
fictitiously, and then
there's thousands.
I'm sorry, continue.
There's thousands of people who have done that, you know?
Yeah.
So in order to break this, to expose
mm-hmm.
it, to, you know, and do it without hurting people who want to go
mm-hmm.
to who are going to these schools, see? We don't want to do that.
No.
You want to go to the school and get your dog and they're servicing you, fine.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to interfere with that. We want to make that process
better. That's all.
By giving the person right. Because we
right.
say, now for every person who gets a dog, how many are denied? You can't
I think
get
there's
that
more denied. There's more denied than there are, you know, accepted.
Yeah, but they won't give you the numbers.
No, they won't, because they know that they'll be called for their...
They won't give you the numbers.
The thing that made me really upset is about 2 weeks after the application, I get an email, and it said the same program that I was trying to apply for, which was a person who had mixed disabilities, more than one disability. I was trying to apply for that program, and that particular program was... you know, alive and kicking. And then 2 years later, I said, let me try this process again. So instead of filling out the same application, because I remember what you told me, that they use the applications to get money, you know, a lot of the times, I didn't want to do that. I called the school directly, and I got into, I said, do you guys do where you have multiple disabilities? She says, oh, yeah, for a long time. Let me connect you to that department who actually sets up the training programs and who does everything. I said, okay, let me see if I can speak with somebody there. Thank you. They connected me. This woman swears up and down. They've had that program for a while. So now who do I believe? Me.
Wait a minute. They told you then they had the program. Did you tell them you wanted to apply again?
I did. And they said to me, just put through the application. So I did, and I never got a call back.
It sounds like to me they were giving you false information.
I don't know if the information was false from the beginning or false from when the person spoke to me the second time.
All the more so why there should be a law.
That's right.
If there was a law now on the whole thing, you could find out what in the hell is going on here.
That's right.
They'd have to be accountable.
That's
See?
The word. They're never accountable. That's the problem.
Yeah.
Right there, Frank. If they were accountable for everything that they do, like other businesses, then we wouldn't have one bit of complaint about them. We wouldn't
There'd
be
have to be,
fearing.
Well, you got to have a law for that.
I know.
You got to have a law because they're going to say they are accountable.
I don't think so.
So there has to be a law. There has to be the courts involved. There has to be proof. There has to be witnesses. The whole thing.
Yeah.
You know?
There was only two witnesses, and one was the school, and one was me. So there was no way I could, you know, say, oh, this happened, unless I recorded it. And even then they might say, oh, no, this is, you know.
Yeah, but what good is that without a law? Where are you going to take it?
Can't do anything about it. Nothing. There's no law, honey. You don't got
money. Where are you
going to
take it?
Nowhere.
We've gotten news stories on the subject. You know?
Yes, we
but
have.
What good is that? It hasn't brought a law in.
Yeah, you're right.
You know? That's why we went to the congressman and to the state. The state should protect us the way
mm-hmm.
everybody else is protected. That's bottom line. Now, we're coming up on Memorial Day. Thousands of people who have served this country will be denied. The federal government won't do one thing about it. The state won't do anything about it. Where do those people go for help?
Nowhere.
They can't come to us and get a service dog because we don't have the money to support that kind of...
I wish we did. I really do. I wish we did. So we could help them.
So there you have it.
I remember somebody said to us a long time ago when Joe, I, and you went over to Suffolk Bus, and I remember they said, you have to focus on one thing and then you could branch out. And that's the hardest thing when everybody comes up to us and says, look what's happening to me. And we're trying to help them with the next person, we get the same thing. And it's very difficult. But we do our best when we don't have the funds to help people. That's what happens.
Yeah, but you still got to have the money.
Yeah, that's true.
To focus on that one thing.
Yeah, I know.
You know, because you got to hire a fundraising firm and a public relations and all that to make it happen. And that takes the money to do it.
We're still using that logo that... Nicole made for us. I'm so happy to use it, so I put it up there. She had donated her time and made a small logo for us. And it looks good when it's made small and made big. That's what you want a logo to be.
You put it up where? Where'd you put it?
I put it up on our... it's been up, actually. She did it. She put it up on our Facebook page.
Oh, the people could see it up there?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah, it looks clean.
All right, Inner Sight, and that's the truth of what's going on with service dog schools.
Mm-hmm.
We're not saying that they don't train dogs and they don't do good things. We're saying that they need to be greatly improved
mm-hmm.
to give people rights who are being dealt with unfairly.
That's true.
Especially since the dog can many times mean the difference between life and death and danger and not.
That's true.
And that's why we urge these people in responsible positions to pass a law. Give us the protection that everybody else has.
That's true.
And that's all we ask. Until that such time, we'll press on.
Yeah.
We get enough funds, we'll do what we have to do.
Yeah.
We'll let people know what's going on.
You have to. You have to expose what is not right. And that's what we're doing.
All right, Inner Sight, just to get off the subject a little bit, we
mm-hmm.
have a tentative date for a demonstration to turn the nursing homes into accessible housing, September 17th, make a note of it, 11 to 2, location to be announced. We're looking for people who can help us online, and we're looking for people who can be at the site and possibly get some testimonials from people around the country on Skype or one of the systems. So anybody out there who wants to help, nursing homes are horrible.
That's an understatement.
People die in them every day.
Mm-hmm.
And we're trying to get our petition back up. We've had some troubles with that. We're determined to straighten that out and get it back up there. So Inner Sight reminds you, freedom. That's what we're about. Freedom.
Yeah.
The freedom of a law to protect people who are denied guide dogs, service dogs. The freedom to be in your own home with the money being spent in the right way. Somebody told me today Congress authorized $88 billion to help people overseas. What about the people over here?
That's right.
I'm not against helping people. But help us over here first. Shoving somebody in a nursing home against their will is not helping them.
No, it isn't.
People belong in their own home.
That's true.
Isn't that what the all these experts and doctors are saying with this stupid virus? Stay home?
Yeah.
How can you stay home if they push you into a nursing home?
That's true.
Yeah, stupid that
you
is.
You don't have enough
It doesn't
service.
Make any sense. They're contradicting themselves.
Yeah, they make you a two-person assist if you don't have enough people to help you. They do that. And that's the worst.
So you need two people to help you. What's the big deal about that?
It's two aides, then.
That's no big deal.
You have to pay for two aides. Well, that's what they're saying. You have to pay for two aides.
The money is there for that.
Yeah, it is.
If it was used in the right
way. I think it's actually cheaper probably to do that than to put somebody in a nursing home still.
All right, Inner Sight, we'll be with you tomorrow night on the funny. Thank you so much for listening.
Mm-hmm.
Inner Sight means freedom. Advocates for the Disabled, 631-224-3090. And we thank the 115,005 and climbing for being with us. Thank you.
Thank
Goodbye, world. Inner Sight. Good night, everybody. Thank you. Inner Sight.